Alabama is the latest state to outlaw DEI programs at public schools, universities, and other institutions. The governor, Kate Ivey, last week signed the sweeping measure into law. It prohibits any state funding for diversity programs. New York Times investigative reporter Nicholas Confessori has been studying the network of conservative think tanks and funders and state legislatures working together to fight to dismantle DEI programs, and he joins us now. Nick, welcome.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. Your reporting indicates a coordinated effort behind these bills that are moving in several states to push back on diversity DEI programs. First of all, who is behind this? The organizations, the funding?
Well, it's important to recognize the campaign against DEI programs is now kind of a unifying theme and idea on the right. And my reporting focused on one particular network of conservative think tanks and donors and activists who were heavily involved in pushing the ban legislation in states like Texas and Florida, Alabama, Maine, Tennessee, some other places. And what I found was that a think tank called the Claremont Institute, which is based in California, had set out a few years ago in the wake of the George Floyd protests to build a network of like-minded think tanks and donors across the country and to focus on red states, conservative states, where state lawmakers were mostly Republican and could use the power of the purse and the legislature to force changes on public universities.
This effort is connected to many bills to end DEI programs in 28 states, according to the Chronicle of Higher Education. Nick, you gained access to internal documents and emails from some of these activists. What did you learn about their motivations?
So I obtained thousands of emails between people involved in the Claremont network and people adjacent to it. And a few things emerged in those emails. First of all, they understand that diversity as a broad idea is fairly popular in America, and that their uphill climb was to convince people that these diversity programs were actually deeply problematic. A second thing I learned was that they would talk about academic freedom, but in private among their friends and colleagues, they would acknowledge that true academic freedom was not their highest value, instilling their own political values and replacing what they consider the wrong values was their top goal. In one email, a top funder of Claremont said, "All education is political." And so there's no middle ground here. There's no viewpoint neutrality here. It's really, how do we use our power to make students learn what we want them to learn and not what we don't want them to learn? And the final thing I learned in a lot of casual exchanges was just a basic attitude of hostility towards lots of groups of people, gay people especially. Hostility to the idea that representation or diversity or kind of relatively equal outcomes for different groups of people is actually important. What they say is actually it's not important and we shouldn't worry about it. You see a desire to kind of roll back the clock to an earlier version of American culture. These are people who mostly believe that patriarchy is good for America. And I'm not just putting that word out there as a hot button. I think they really think that feminism and much of the civil rights movement have changed America for the worst. And they want to return classrooms and teaching to an atmosphere of reverence for the founding, reverence for the founders, and less questioning and criticism of American ideals.
To get to where they want the country to go, you know, tactics and, of course, language matter. You know, we have learned about the effort against teaching, you know, certain parts of race and history in public schools that opponents have tried to brand it as CRT, right? Critical race theory, which, you know, it's factually inaccurate. But as far as DEI, how have enemies tried to define it, frame it in certain words to gain as much rhetorical traction as they can?
What I found really interesting was we saw them talking about, well, how do we convince people that diversity is bad or that DEI programs are bad? And they talk about how diversity needed to be saddled with more negative connotations. How about we call it social justice? Because that term exists, and people on the left call themselves, you know, activists for social justice. And while, you know, most Americans, you know, wouldn't say they favor discrimination, social justice could be, quote, stigmatized so that when people hear it, they can act on their suspicions. And so in these emails and these grant proposals and these different reports, you see the Claremont group tinkering with their language. They start calling it critical social justice. But by last year, I think for a variety of reasons, they circled back to the idea of diversity, that the enemy was diversity and diversity programs.
Hmm.
But they also understand that essentially Americans are like a people who imagine themselves as liking freedom. And you can say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And they're not really into the government telling people what they can say. And so they understood that there was some value in positioning themselves as advocates for more academic freedom, freedom of thought, right? Mm. And you can see them talking about that in these emails. But their private views, as I said, are quite different. And in fact, this was one exchange from last year where Scott Yanor, who is a professor, I think, on leave at the University of Idaho at Boise, and two associates discuss how to defend Amy Wax, who's a conservative law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, who has come under fire and investigation by her school for certain statements she has made about Black people and Asian people. And in this discussion, they said, well, you should make a freedom of speech argument. And you should say that if they fire Amy Wax, pretty soon colleges in conservative states will start firing liberals, and we should worry about that. And one of the guys says, hold on a second, isn't that what we want to have happen? And Yanor writes back, yes, but your audience doesn't want it to happen. And it was a bracingly cynical moment in this discussion where they illustrate that academic freedom and freedom of thought, intellectual diversity and pluralism are great branding, but it's not why we're here.
Just to be clear, when these individuals say academic freedom, they argue that diversity goals and programs force them to adhere to a leftist agenda, which to them shuts off debate and cuts off their freedom to disagree. Nick, where do you sense all this going? This effort is directed at not just university, but also corporate diversity programs.
Well, Stephen Miller, the former Trump official, and others have organized a legal campaign. It's sort of in parallel to the legislative efforts against college DEI programs. And this campaign is aimed at corporations. And they are essentially going to companies that appear to have, let's say, a fellowship program reserved for Blacks or minorities or women. And they say, you can't do that, and we're going to sue you if you keep doing it. I think we'll see fights over set-aside programs for contracting. I think all of those are going to come under attack. And I think that will be well-funded. And you will see a lot of skirmishing in the courts as companies try to figure out what can we still do if racial preferences are more or less prohibited by the Supreme Court. And we have to think of how do we achieve the same goals without breaking those rules.
Yeah. Speaking of goals, how do you think about the ultimate goal of this coordinated effort against DEI programs?
On sort of the Trump part of the right, which is the biggest part of it now, there is a belief that everything since the Civil Rights Act, or the Civil Rights Acts, I should say, has kind of gone awry. And we have to really, in their opinion, roll things back and dismantle a lot of the bureaucratic and legal machinery that has been built in the last 50 years, not just affirmative action, but certain kinds of federal programs and grant making, all kinds of things that initially were designed to rectify racial imbalances and outcomes in which people on the right now think should be done away with and should be illegal. And I think we're going to see fights over that will go on for quite some time.
We've been talking to Nicholas Confessori, political and investigative reporter at the New York Times and also staff writer at the New York Times Magazine. Nick, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott. Take care.